Hi, I'm Serena, and this is my co-host, Mike, and you're listening to Diapers and Deployments, Who's Got It Worse? The podcast that talks about all things military, the good, the bad, and the oh shit.
On today's show, we touch on Mike messing up Mother's Day again, college graduation, and we have a guest from the Stephen A. Cohen Military Family Clinic at Centerstone in Jacksonville, Florida.
This podcast is supported by SkillMill Corporation, helping veterans transition to the civilian workspace.
Serena, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So, hey, I want to start off by saying last week's show was actually my favorite one that we've done. I don't know what your favorite one is, so I'm going to ask you, which one was your favorite?
I think my favorite one was episode 5, the moving one. I loved that one. But I do have to say, I like this one a lot, too. And actually, it's like one of our most popular ones.
Which one? Last week?
Last week, yeah.
I know. It took us over the top. Like, we've been waiting on 500 downloads for a while, right?
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
kind of a big deal for a new podcast. And considering that, you know, 85% of the people are actually streaming and not downloading, that means people are listening. Who the hell are we talking to out there?
I don't know. I'd like to know. I wish we had a hotline so people could call in.
maybe when we actually get money, we can do that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Well, I did, you know, we do have viewers in 10 different countries now. Did you notice that?
I didn't.
Yeah.
For real? Can you see what countries?
Yeah. We have Ireland, I know, and Australia. I can list them off on the next show. Yeah, 10.
Oh, I'm impressed.
I know. And I'm not sure who's listening in Ireland, but hey, send me some scotch.
I feel so validated because everybody my whole life has talked about my big ass mouth. And now people like are downloading to hear me.
There's good in everything, Serena. There's
good. Yeah.
Speaking of, hey, we had some holidays this month and a lot going on. Of course, everyone knows about Mother's Day, right? Not a big deal. No, you know, fake holiday from Hallmark.
That's real funny.
I want to get killed. I'm just kidding.
I was about to say, you have a death wish.
I messed up for Mother's Day, but I'll tell you that in a minute. But and there's a Military Appreciation Month, right? And
yes.
I'm forgetting.
Well, Military Spouse Appreciation Day.
That was Friday.
Yes, that was Friday. And then we have Armed Forces Day is May 15th. And then we wrap up the month of May with Memorial Day. So I think the whole month is National Military Appreciation Month.
Oh, awesome.
Kind of covers all the bases, the service members, the spouse, and all of that in between.
And of course, Memorial Day and
yes.
you know, Somber Day. And, you know, I want to say something. A lot of veterans on Memorial Day, people say thank you for your service. And that's not really, I won't say appropriate, but I mean, because people don't know it. But that's really for those who sacrificed, you know, gave the ultimate sacrifice. It's not for the people who are serving. I don't think a lot of people understand that.
I do think there's some confusion. I mean, now with social media, I see all the people out there correcting everybody, but there's a polite way to go about it. And when people have ever said something to Brandon on Memorial Day, he always just says, yes, I thank those people for their service that died for our country. You know, it's all, there's a polite way to go about it.
Well, Mother's Day. So how was your Mother's Day? I already know how you felt Mother's Day morning because we talked. I don't think the audience knows how maybe hungover.
Yeah. My cousin's birthday, we wanted to go out on the weekend.
Of course.
So we could go out late. And we went and had a fancy dinner at a really nice Italian restaurant with a group of people. And of course, we were having wine and Prosecco and cocktails. And then we went out to a lounge.
That sounds fancy. Sorry.
Yeah. In downtown Kansas City. It is. It's like swanky, sexy, dark lounge. It's like live music. Yeah. It's really kind of a cool place.
Usually when I go to a place like that, you have to give dollars.
Well, you do have to pay to get in, but
oh, okay, different kind of thing.
But it's like one of those places they're playing like live jazz music.
I love jazz music.
It's really cool. It's a really cool place. And we kept drinking. And kept drinking. It got to the point where Brandon's like, hey, I can't have any more to drink because I'm driving us all. So I kept drinking his drinks.
Oh, good. See, good on him though, being designated driver.
Yes, he was being responsible. And
you were not.
I was not being responsible. I mean, I was being responsible. I was being so responsible. Get this. So the next morning I woke up Mother's Day and I felt like crap. And Brandon let me sleep in. He got up and went upstairs, took care of the kids. He made fresh buttermilk biscuits, which are my favorite. And I came upstairs and I'm sure I look like death. And I was searching the purse I used to go out with. Uh-huh. I was searching it for my ID and my credit card and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I was
I know that feeling.
Yeah. So I thought, cause I knew I had to show my ID to get in. And I was so excited that I had to show my ID to get in. but I also bought the first round of drinks. So I was like, oh no, did I leave it there? But I remembered signing it. Because I didn't leave my tab open. So I was panicked, but my drunk, responsible self put it all back in my wallet when I got
good
home.
Girl.
I know. I mean, that's like college shit that I used to do. Like I used to like make myself remember to do that kind of stuff. I stayed on track.
I was trapped last weekend. I'll call it trapped. I rented a place up on the lake in Lake Martin. My daughter graduated Auburn University last weekend. So
big news. You must be so proud.
I am so proud of her. You just wouldn't believe it. She had her and three of her girlfriends and my daughter and my wife and then her boyfriend, not my wife's boyfriend, but my daughter's boyfriend. You know, all in the same place. That's a lot of women in one place, Serena.
Did you and the boyfriend like take off and
we went to the Dollar General a couple times, but you know what? It was all in all, it was a great weekend. It's great to get away from family. I went fishing, you know, I tried to rent a boat. It was a little bit late, but next time I've already reserved a place for August. So Lake Martin, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's beautiful. No,
sounds like it. I know your girls are older now. My kids are obviously little. So Brandon has to do the Mother's Day thing. Since your girls are older, do they kind of take care of Regina or do you still take care of her? How does that work?
Well, this year it didn't work at all because yeah, with everything going on. Yeah, I kind of messed up. Regina's present won't be here till tomorrow. Actually, it's after Mother's Day and it's not that great of a present anyway, but I got her a nice card. We were going to go out to dinner. She didn't want to go out to dinner, you know, with Michaela just moving back home, boxes everywhere. So, you know, our Mother's Day was spent cleaning the house.
I know.
It's just now in my defense, she was going to order herself a necklace because, you know, when I buy stuff, sometimes she just takes it back. So I'm like, hey, go buy what you want. Put my name on it.
Yeah.
Well, she hadn't ordered it. She just ordered it like an hour before I started the show. So her mother's, I didn't completely mess up Mother's Day. I did go to Walmart and get her roses early in the morning. So, you know,
that's good. That's good. No shade at my dad or Brandon, but like we had like 40 people over yesterday for Mother's Day. So my mom and I had to go to the grocery store after I drank a mimosa. I'm not going to lie. I had hair of the dog. I had to drink something. So I had a mimosa. I had about 100 biscuits, it felt like. And then my mom and I went to the grocery store and it was packed with people buying flowers and cards and everything.
Oh, there was a line of guys standing around where the flowers were. I'm like, oh, I'm not the only one. That's
good. Yeah. Hey, I said, whatever. It's better than not getting them at all. So I was applauding all of them at the grocery store.
I did say I got her a card, but here's another fun fact. I'm sure I'm not the only person that's done this. I got her card like early, like a week and a half ago, filled it out and then hid it from myself. she didn't get it till late in the day.
I do that all the time.
It's not just a guy thing.
No.
Okay. Oh, good.
No.
Good.
I do that stuff all the time. I hide stuff from myself. I hide stuff from Brandon. I hide stuff from the kids. And then I'm like, oh no, now I don't remember what I did with any of it.
Well, when you get older, when you start hiding stuff, you're not going to be able to find it.
Yeah. I mean, I still can't find some things. I brought home a bunch of sewing stuff because I like to sew and I didn't want it packed in our household goods so I could sew while I was here. Can't find it. I have no idea where I put it.
So if you're listening out there and you hide things from yourself, just know it's normal.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, it's time to shift gears. And as you know, Serena, I think we've had, honestly, a great lineup of guests so far.
I think so too.
I mean, you think about who we've had on up to this point. Everyone's had great information. They've been amazing guests. And the listeners have really enjoyed, you know, having them on the broadcast. So now it's time to bring on someone from Jacksonville, Florida. I think everyone's going to enjoy this interview. I say enjoy, you know, it's he does a great thing for our servicemen and women. Retirees, just listen to what he has to say, and the services that they provide are absolutely amazing. On the show today, we have Mike Fleming. He's a retired Brigadier General. Right now, he's the Outreach Director for the Stephen A. Cohen Military Family Clinic at Centerstone in Jacksonville. So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be on here.
Now, I got to tell you, Mike, you're the first officer we've had on here. You know, we say this show's for the enlisted servicemen and women, and we're like, hey, we're not going to have a bunch of officers, you know, come on here. But someone reached out to me and said, you were amazing, and you did a lot of great things. So I wanted to let
you know. And maybe I can trace that any way that I have contributed. The fact that many years ago, I was a scared private sitting at Parris Island waiting to be dragged into the gate. So I started my career in the Marine Corps as a scared private and was fortunate to work myself up to Sergeant E5 before I went to Marine Corps OCS. So much of what I did and accomplished is the fact that having been an enlisted Marine, I know what it's like to start at the bottom and maybe some of the needs. But I did become an officer. I was smart enough to listen to my NCOs and
that's like when you're married.
I took their advice. Yep.
Smart enough to listen to the wife.
Hey, I've been married almost 40 years. Two words. Yes, ma'am.
Look at that.
So I have a question. I know the Navy, isn't the term a Mustang when they go from enlisted to officer?
Correct.
So what do they do for the Marine Corps? Do they have something like
that? Same thing. It's Mustang. In both the Marine Corps and the Army, it's Mustang. And I think it traces back to when they actually the Mustang plane and a lot of former enlisted Marines, I guess in Navy also, became pilots. And I think Mustang is named after that. But yeah, I would be a Mustang in the Marine Corps lingo.
All right. Yeah, my father-in-law, he's in the Marines, of course. He gives me hell all the time about the Marine Corps, but you know, he only did 4 years. I did 31. So I think I will.
There you go.
So Brandon always makes a joke. He always says the Navy signs the Marines' paychecks. Is that like a thing? I don't even know. He always says it. I don't know anything about it.
That is correct. And the Navy is the taxi service for the Marine Corps. So it all depends on your perspective.
Yeah. My father-in-law always tells me that the Marines are the men's department of the Navy.
I did not say that. I have heard that, but I did not say that.
Hey, you know what? We can mess with each other. That's what it's all about, right?
That's great.
But, you know, Mike, I want to get right down to the reason we brought you on the show. Stephen A. Cohen Military Family Clinic. I just want you to tell the listeners about what you do down there.
Mike, I appreciate the opportunity. Give you a little bit of a background with this. The Stephen A. Cohen Military Family Clinics are across the United States. And Steve Cohen is a hedge fund billionaire, and his son had joined the Marine Corps. And then when his son got out of the Marine Corps, Mr. Cohen wanted to honor his son's service. And so he'd asked his son, what could he do to help? And he said that there's been a challenge with mental health for veterans and military families. And so Mr. Cohen invested almost $300 million to start this network across the United States. And the goal by the end of next year is actually to have 25 clinics, 24 brick and mortar clinics, and one virtual clinic. Wow. And we're fortunate enough to have one in Jacksonville, Florida. All the clinics provide mental health services for post 9/11 veterans, National Guard, Reserve, and military families. The challenge is, and having been in the military many years, I retired in 2010, but started actually in the mid 70s. And mental health was really something no one ever talked about.
True.
I mean, it was something invisible. Mm-hmm. And certainly we're just coming out of the Vietnam era, where the Vietnam veterans were treated terribly by really our nation as a whole. Mm-hmm. And mental health really was not something that was acceptable to talk about. I mean, if you were out on a PT run and sprained your ankle, you went to the dispensary and you got your ankle fixed and you're on light duty, and then you came back, and it's just something natural if you hurt yourself physically. But if you had any kind of mental weakness or, you know, just didn't feel right, no one was encouraged to talk about it. In fact, I was almost discouraged not to, because I know in each one of the basic training, and having gone through boot camp at Parris Island, the first thing they do is tear you down. But then they build you back up. By the end of it, you know, you're a super Marine or a super sailor or a super airman, super soldier. And so your first thought is, you know, gee, if I need help, if I'm not quite feeling right, then something's wrong with me. But I can't tell anybody else, because everybody else are super soldiers and super Marines. And fortunately, the Department of Defense is doing a better job now of looking at that. But that's what the Cohen Veterans Network exists, really, is to work with primarily post 9/11 veterans and do outpatient care for them and their families. Because obviously, if a veteran is having challenges, some mental health challenges, or needs some help, normally that also works and it impacts their families. And so we want to be able to help them also.
You know, a lot of people forget about the families, that, you know, and they think about the service member that goes downrange and, you know, does things for this country. But back home, I mean, you have a whole family that's struggling and not knowing if you're going to make it back. And I know my kids, when you go away, and Serena knows this too, it does affect your children forever.
Absolutely. As an ombudsman, a lot of the times, those were the kind of calls that I would receive from the family members, that they were just not in a good place, feeling lonely. Their kids are lonely. It's hard. And that, you know, I was always trying to find them resources to get back on track, to feel better, and give them some sort of guidance and stability where I could, you know, groups, things like that. But it's really hard on the family side as much as it is on the service member side.
I'd argue in a lot of ways it's more, because the service member, if you get deployed, is obviously surrounded by his or her buddies, so to speak, their compatriots, and you're all in it together and you're kind of looking out for each other. And the families are back there. They're wondering about what is going on. I remember my nephew was in the Army and he got deployed to Iraq, and he sometimes would actually, because they had cell phones over there, he would call his mother to tell him he was going on patrol. So what did that mean? My sister-in-law waited the whole time until my nephew called her back to tell her he was back. So communication, sometimes it's great. You can talk to anybody in the world, but sometimes, you know, as family members, they wonder and you're not experiencing it. And the service member knows he or she's okay, but maybe the family doesn't know. So, and then the impact can be quite significant, obviously, with deployments. Come back, and Serena would know all about this. It's an adjustment period to come back.
It is.
Because now the service member, the mom or the dad, now is back in the family. And then that the spouse that stayed behind has made all the adjustments. And now the returning spouse now wants to get back involved. So a lot of adjustments. And then there's some things happen on to military members. Sometimes they're delayed reaction. Unfortunately, we've had military sexual trauma that has occurred particularly, unfortunately, to our female service members. And sometimes there's impacts later on in life. And so the Cohen Veterans Network across the United States, we're committed to really working with service members and their families. And then you also have the National Guard and Reserve are both unique. I served about 24 years on active duty and then about 10 or 11 years, both Marine Corps Reserve and the Army National Guard. And one of the challenges is the members serving in the Guard and Reserve are expected to maintain their mental and their physical fitness. So when they come and they report for duty, that they're ready to go. Well, you know, you have to kind of do that on your own because you don't have access to TRICARE and some of the other benefits. And so with the Cohen clinics across the United States, we really work closely with the Guard and Reserve because we really have military cultural competent clinicians who understand the military experience and the impact that it can have. And so we really feel like that's something that is important to our guardsmen and reservists and their families.
A lot of people, you know, military members are not comfortable talking to someone who didn't serve. You kind of want someone who with some shared experience.
Right.
So it's nice to hear that you have people at your organization who have actually served in the military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a combination of, we have some people who are veterans, some clinicians who are veterans. We have some clinicians who were in military families. And those that didn't either serve individually or within a family, we have quite a bit of training for them to make them military cultural competent. The other aspect of it is because we exclusively see military clients or military affiliated clients, then clinicians together in our clinic and other clinics, they obviously talk because you have someone who gets an experience and the clinicians want to do the best they can. So they have shared experiences. So because we exclusively see the military clients, it really builds up their experience. And that way they're able to provide the best care that they can.
You guys are doing some great stuff down there. I want to ask about money, you know, because I'm sure people are listening like, hey, do I pay? Is this TRICARE funded? How does this work?
It's a great question, Mike. And one of the terms we use is we believe there should be no barriers to care. Mm-hmm. And so by law, we're obligated to ask financial questions. You have a financial attestation. But if someone cannot pay for it, we have a grant that would waive all fees. And if someone couldn't afford a copay, like let's say they have three or four family members, then that also can be waived. For those clinics that, of course, COVID has affected everybody, and some of our clinics are physically not open yet, but some of them are. If you're within 30 miles of the clinic, we will actually send an Uber or Lyft out to your house, pick you up, bring you in, and then take you back to your house. We're very fortunate. Mr. Cohen's philanthropic gift of almost $300 million, plus we have a lot of local providers and local organizations that support us. Like here in Jacksonville, we have CSX is one of our big supporters, and they provide some money to us. And so we're able to do that. And we work very closely with other providers. We work very closely with the VA. Unfortunately, there are enough mental health challenges faced by veterans that we need a lot of organizations working. And so we have a great relationship with our local VA and work with them. Sometimes they refer individuals to us because sometimes people are not eligible necessarily for VA care. And sometimes we'll refer them to VA maybe for longer term care because we're all outpatient. And we also have a case manager who does a wonderful job in helping connect needed services. If someone doesn't have a job or they need some housing or something like that, our case management team works very closely to make sure those needs are also addressed.
Yeah.
What about age?
For us, we say that's really ages 3 to 90, because one of the things that we also do is we allow the client, the individual veteran, defines his or her family. So if your family is your grandmother and your grandfather, it's your aunt, it's your best friend, if it's your spouse, we let you define the family member. And so that way the veteran does not have to be at every session. It could be that the individual, the veteran's spouse or the veteran's mother, what needs some counseling, we're there for that. So the age range really is 3 to 90. We talk specifically about the fact that we're primarily focused on post 9/11 veterans, but about 10% of our veterans that we see are actually pre 9/11 veterans. So we do see some. The other piece that is a little bit different, that sometimes people are not necessarily eligible for VA care because of their discharge status, type of discharge they receive. And so with us, it's irrelevant. If someone served one day in boot camp, then as far as they're concerned, they can be a client of ours. So discharge status really is irrelevant to us with care.
It sounds like no one's getting denied care then.
And no, that's what we said. No barriers to care is a term that someone within the Cohen Veterans Network adopted very early on. Now, one of the challenges is, it's very interesting, as I talked kind of initially about the challenges of mental health. Right now, the Army is reviewing, and I think it's from all the bad conduct discharges, I think from maybe 2012 to 2019, to look to see if there was a mental health aspect to that that led to that. Because the challenge ends up being, if someone has mental health that's not treated, it can obviously lead to actions that maybe they wouldn't ordinarily do.
Sure.
So the Army is actually going back to look to see if some of the discharges maybe were based on something that had mental health been addressed at that point, then maybe they would have gotten that addressed. Maybe the other actions that led to their bad conduct discharge or dishonorable discharge would not have occurred. So
yeah, that's great.
I think it's important for people just to say, look, mental health is just like physical health. If you sprain your ankle, you don't say, I'm not telling anybody. I'm going to keep it a secret because I'd be embarrassed. I sprained my ankle.
Tough it out, right?
Yeah, nobody does that. You get, of course, you get it fixed. And you know, whatever fixed means, in a bad ankle. And it's the same thing if you're not feeling right. And like everything, if you can get it early, it doesn't become a problem. If you just ignore it, then it probably will have greater ramifications than it did if you addressed it early.
This is so great to me, because I've always been, an advocate for people that have mental health problems or, just want to talk. You don't even have to have a mental health problem or issue. Right. If you just have something that's weighing on you, on your mind, on your heart that you need, and you need to talk, it made me so sad that people felt like they had to keep that kind of thing bottled up.
Another thing that Department of Defense has reduced the number of billets that are in the medical field. And so where some of the dependents and family members may have been able to have access to care through the Department of Defense medical system, now, because of fewer number of billets for that, they're obviously, the first focus is the active duty members.
Yeah.
And so now they're more families are being asked to go into civilian providers, TRICARE. And so that's the military families that we see. We see active duty military families also as part of our practice.
So I know you said you're nationwide. I mean, is it safe to say all 50 states, or is it kind of?
No, it's not all 50 states. Yet we hope to have the ability to provide care across all 50 states. Right now, I think the total number of states is about 25. We have 19 clinics at different locations here in Florida. We happen to have two. We have one in Jacksonville, one in Tampa, but at different locations. CohenVeteransNetwork.org. So anybody can go and see if there's one in your area. The other piece I would add, Mike, is that telehealth has become something that obviously everybody's doing simply because of COVID.
Sure.
And the studies that have been done on that, the efficacy of telehealth is just as high as the efficacy of face-to-face. And for better or for worse with COVID, I think we're all more used now to doing things through, in our case like this, with Zoom or some of the others. So telehealth is available, and we use that quite often here. And when we don't have someone who lives in the Jacksonville area, if they live west of here or south, then very easy to do telehealth. What I talk about, and I'm not a clinician, but I know the impact, positive impact that counseling can have. And I say, take that first brave step, because first thing someone has to do is decide they would like to get help. Now, they can be encouraged, but someone has to take that first brave step. And then, we have great care through the Cohen Veterans Network, and that's tremendous. But if you're a veteran and you need help, there's the Veterans Crisis Line, the VA has something. There are a lot of great organizations that are there, and I would encourage a veteran who needs care or feels I'm just a little bit off, take that first brave step and get that care, because you owe it to your family. That's what I also stress, is that you think sometimes it's, hey, I'm just having a bad day, or it's me, I'm just not doing well, but that will have a direct impact on your family, and you owe it to your family to be the best you can be. And like I said, I've had counseling. My wife says I still need to be trained by her a little bit more.
Mine too.
We've been married almost 40 years, but so I'm not all that trainable. But you know, that's something that's helped our marriage, helped my quality of life, and important that people just decide they can do that. Nobody's a superman or superwoman, regardless of which service you might have been in. There's always room for improvement, and mental health that we offer through the Cohen Veterans Network is really be helpful. The individual service member and his or her family.
Well, you know, I do want you to mention Firewatch really quick, and then I'd like to bring you back on to talk about it. Just give people
love to do that
teaser.
One of the challenges we have when veterans' mental health is unfortunately veteran suicide, and the estimates are that we lose between 20 and 22 veterans per day via suicide. And this is all generations. And one of the challenges there is you have isolation, a lot of challenges. And so we here in Northeast Florida wanted to make a commitment to end veteran suicide in our area. So we created something called the Firewatch. And five counties in Northeast Florida, you have Duval, Clay, Baker, Nassau, and St. John's counties all combined. And each one of their commissions voted and have to create something called the Firewatch. And the Firewatch, most of you know, having served in the military, when you stand watch, you're standing watch, whether it be on a ship or somewhere else, you're standing watch so your fellow sailors on the ship or wherever you are, can stand down and relax. Mm-hmm. And you're standing in the gap. Biblically, you'd be standing in the gap, but you're standing watch. So we created something called a watchstander program. And we want veterans and also non-veterans, which we call veteran champions, to learn about the challenge of veteran suicide. So we partnered with PsychArmor, develop a program that someone can be trained on signs of stress in a veteran's life, and not to make them professionals, but to help them learn how they can help veterans. One of the interesting things, Mike and Serena, and you both know about the military, and we interact with veterans. But veterans only compose about 10% of the population. So that means 9 out of 10 people the three of us run into on a daily basis are not veterans. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we talk about veterans programs and we just exclusively talk to veterans about it. We felt with the Firewatch that we wanted our veteran champions, which are 90% of the population, to learn about veterans and how they can be supportive. Most of the people that you run into as veterans are non-veterans or veterans champions. So we train with that. So, I'd love to talk later about it, but it's at thefirewatch.org. And we're hoping that we can take our program across the state of Florida. And then, of course, we'd be interested in talking to anybody about moving it into their area and helping them. Because we really feel like preventing veteran suicide is something that is very important, because suicide, unfortunately, can become a generational problem. Mm-hmm. And that's even if there's one suicide in a family, that has an impact for generations.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And I'm going to bring you back on the show, Mike, I promise.
I love it. Ready to do it anytime.
All right, Serena, another great guest, another episode, kind of fun in the beginning. This guy had great information at the end of the interview. So, we try to get that mix between entertainment and information. So hopefully the listeners hear that in our show and are enjoying what we're doing.
Absolutely. We want to be a podcast where you like to listen to us, but you also like to get some facts and know what's out there and available for you as a service member or for a family member of a service member.
Right. And I tell you, coming up, TRICARE for Young Adults, we're going to talk about that because my daughter graduated, as we talked about earlier in the show, college. And when your kid graduates from college and you're retired and you're on TRICARE, you're like, hey, what about medical? Because when they graduate from college, right, that's it. It's time for them to get their own medical, or so I thought.
But that's why I got married. I'm not going to lie.
That's the only reason you married Brandon?
Pre-medical? The only reason. I mean, I graduated college and that was it. I had no more health insurance.
You're like, hey, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
I can't wait for him to hear you say that. He's going to think you're serious.
I know.
Hey, but there is another way, Serena, I found out, but we'll talk about that.
Okay. Sounds good.
Serena, I don't want to do a drink of the week this week. I want to do a disrespecting the drink of the week.
Oh, no. What happened?
I cracked open Johnny Walker Blue for my daughter's graduation. Of course, special occasion.
Yeah.
And of course, none of the girls wanted it, but her boyfriend, I'm like, hey, he goes, try this. He goes, yeah, yeah, pour me a little glass. He is not a scotch drinker, I guess, because about 10 minutes in, I looked at his face and he's just trying to get through this. And finally, I'm like, you do not have to drink it. Serena, he poured Coke in it.
Oh, no.
So if you're listening, Walker. Hey, if you pay a couple hundred bucks for a bottle of booze, no Coke, please. That's all.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Diapers and Deployments brought to you by Skillmill.
Go to skillmill.com to check out our blog and create an account. You can also find us on social media. Let us help you find your next career.
Don't forget, that's skill with two L's and mill with one.
Until next time.